Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and it's good to be here one more time to get into none other than the Word of the Lord. Knowing that God's word is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. You can't separate Him from His word, like we said. Out of His word, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So thank God for His word. Just another time to get into His word. So we thank God for opportunity to come, blessed opportunity to be able to be on the Blog Talk Radio one more time. We want you to know that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, emphatically lets us know all about this. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Ephesians 4:4. Ephesians 4:5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And this is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, letting the believers know about their position in Christ. So thank God for His word, knowing that there is one God. And so that's what everybody needs to know. Everybody don't know who Jesus is. So He's not the God of this particular ethnicity or of that race of people and of that race of people, but He is the God of all flesh. So there's neither Jew, there's neither Greek, there's neither bond, there's neither free, there's neither male nor female in Christ. That's talking about believers who are in Christ. But like he said in the book of Ezekiel, all souls are mine. So what we're looking at is the outward appearance. Just like Jesus said, it is the spirit that quickeneth or makes alive. He said, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's St. John 6:63. So he's not the God of this man, the brown man, the black man, the white man, the red man, but he is a God of all flesh. That was so very important. So he's concerned about the soul of man. So all souls are mine, he said, but the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So that's so very important that we can see what's going on in our world today, that we indeed are living in the last days. So That is so important for every man to know, that we are living in the last days. And so this is what the Bible is letting us know. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. A lot of people don't want to deal with that, because that's dealing with doctrine, which is, that word doctrine means teaching. So, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. And this is John when he wrote many, many years ago, actually many centuries ago. Imagine where we are now. So he goes on to say, ye are of God, little children, and overcome them. Them who? The previous verses, Antichrist. You know who Jesus is. Then every spirit that's Antichrist, when you believe Jesus, then you have overcome the spirit of Antichrist. Right? Everybody needs to know that's what's getting ready to happen. The new world order, the new world government, the 13th chapter of Revelation, you got to have a mark to buy or sell. You won't be able to buy or sell except the word save means except you have the mark or the number of his name. So, and his number is 666. And so it's not going to necessarily be that number. It's going to be a number. We got to have numbers. We got to have passwords. Everything that we do now, if you're doing things in cyberspace, you got to have a password, you got to have an email address. So it's going to be in that day, you're going to have a number. And so you do, we know, you could do any online banking, anything that has to do where you have to log in with Secure Lock, log in to a secure website. You're going to buy something online. You're going to use a credit card. You're going to use a debit card. You have to be secure when you do that. So it's going to be, in that day, it's going to, not going to be no rich people vaunting how much money you got and all that. I imagine Wall Street will be, won't mean nothing to the Antichrist, because he's going to fool the people. He's going to sit in the temple and to be God, pretending to be God, going to be worshipped and pretending himself to be God, and he's going to fool them. They're going to find out that he fooled them. So anyway, you're going to buy or sell, you're going to have to take the mark, you're going to have your head. If you don't take the mark, you're going to have your head cut off. That's the only way you're going to be saved in that day. Ain't no going to the water and believing the gospel like we do nowadays. So best to bow down now to Jesus. Every tongue should confess. That's what we were talking about. One of the things we're talking about in our lessons at this church that is written to Philippi, that at the name of Jesus, we dealt with this a little while back. Philippians, the second chapter, wherefore, it's talking about Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That was a curse. The death of the cross was a curse. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, he is the selfsame one, and I'll prove that. If you go to 1 John the third chapter. It's going to let you know what the subject is there in 1 John, what we're talking about. So God had already said, you read in the book of Isaiah especially, 43rd chapter, the 45th chapter, I'm God, there's none else, I'm God, there's none like me. I am God, there's none beside me. There is none before me. There is none after me. So that's the mystery. The great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. The subject is God. In 1 John 3 and 6, 2 Timothy 3 and 16, the subject is God. And we know that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So in 1 John, the third chapter here, behold, what manner of love the Father, notice the subject, hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, he who? The previous verse, the Father, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So that's the love that's bestowed upon us. So it's the self-same one. The Father, the Bible said, sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So in the 10th chapter of Hebrews and the 40th chapter of Psalms, it's talking about sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. So a spirit don't have a body. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bone. So he had to shed blood. A spirit don't have flesh and blood. That's why he had to take on a body. It was impossible that the blood of goats and bullocks and heifers and pigeons and turtle doves, all those things should take away sin. But he once appeared in the presence of God to put away sin in the, once in the end of the world by the sacrifice of himself, that body that he had. Remember how he spake, no man take my life, in the 10th chapter of St. John. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again, not pick it back up, but take it again, proving his deity. When he got up and rebuked the wind in that boat and said, peace, be still. When he said, let us go over to the other side. It didn't matter about a storm arising. God wouldn't get you out and leave you. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's why the Bible says marriage is honorable in the bed undefiled, and adulterers and whoremongers God would judge. He goes on to say, for he hath said, that about being content with such things as ye have, you know, about covetousness. You don't have to be coveting over things. That is in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, or the 12th chapter. I'll go there in the book of the Hebrews and to prove just what I'm saying. So that's why the Bible tells us to be content with such things as we have. Yeah, in 13th chapter, let your conversation be without covetousness. People are so into things or things, whatever they want to call them. They're into things. Bumper sticker, who has the most toys wins and all of that. I mean, yes, we need things in this world. But when you die, you're not going to take no thing with you, nothing. So he says here, let your conversation or your lifestyle, or it can be what you say, it matters not, be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, he who, the Lord, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Notice the connection. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So I think I'll go up even farther. 13th chapter, he starts off, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember that them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Then he goes on, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And so, remember there are them which are have the rule over you, which have spoken. What rule? That's another important thing. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Question, what is the rule? Answer, the word is the rule. We're looking at people. Yeah, people are in offices, but the word is the rule. And guess what? The same people who are leaders and rulers, it applies unto them too. Because Jesus is the one that died for us and got up on the third day. And it's his church. He purchased the church with his own blood. So that just busts a bubble into a lot of people. And so shows you responsibility of those that are in leadership position. You got to watch what you do. You can't just tell somebody else, do this, do that, and they're out of order and all that, and you out of order too. So we all got to do what the word says. It all applies to us. One of the mightiest men, the mightiest prophets that ever arose. The Bible says there arose not a prophet who knew God like the man Moses, face to face. All the terror and all that God used that man to do, he didn't make it into the promised land because he didn't sanctify the Lord. When he told him to speak through that rock, Moses was so disgusted and with those people, they got on his nerves so bad, he called them rebels. He couldn't enter in. He didn't lose out. He's going to be one of the witnesses that's going to preach during the great tribulation period, during the tribulation period, which is Moses and Elijah. They're going to be the ones. They're going to kill in the city of Jerusalem. They're going to be dead for 3 days. After 3 days, Spirit of God, life, going to get back in them and stand up. Everybody that see, great fear going to come on them. Who going to see it? Whole lot of people walking around with mobile devices. You can see things going on, these satellites bouncing everywhere. Whole lot of people going to be able to see it. So his word that goeth forth out of his mouth, not going to return void, he's going to accomplish the thing he sent it, and prosper in that which I please, saith the Lord. So what we want to do on today, we want to talk about, we're talking about the church at Philippi, part four. And we can recap as we have a little. And so this book of Philippians is one of Apostle Paul's Pauline epistles. Not necessarily, matter exactly when it was written, like they said, whether it was the first or the second imprisonment, but it doesn't affect the message. But it talks about the the Christian experience, soundness of doctrine is already assumed. There's nothing in church to set church order about. We know the bishops and the deacons and the elders, they all were there. And what's the key verse, I think I've said probably earlier, is Philippians 1:21. He said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You know what Apostle Paul was saying? And that he was saying that to be with Christ was far better. And he went on to say, "But it's needful for me to be here." And he was talking when he wrote that letter to the Philippians. Want to let them know who they are in Christ. That's the same way it is with some of us. Our fathers in the gospel, those that loved us and those that taught us, it was good that they were with us the period of time that they were with us to establish us. So you have to have some body, be it a man of God or a woman of God, to establish you in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to establish you in the word of the Lord. It's just like a job. You start a job. I've worked at numbers of places when I worked at General Motors. You got to go through orientation. You got to be clear on what is expected of you and what you have to do, and you have to be trained to be able to do what you do. I know people say, and it sounds good, and people have said it and still do say it, I'm self-taught. You're not self-taught, but the Bible, it comes by the revelation of Jesus. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which means that what is being taught to you has to be revealed. The oneness of God has to be revealed. It takes the Holy Ghost to know who Jesus is. That's why the Bible says, "No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed," and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. It takes the Holy Ghost to reveal who Jesus is. So it is with his word. His word has to be revealed to you. You have to be taught by a person to rightly divide the word of truth. And this is why Apostle Paul wrote to his son Timothy in the gospel, in 2 Timothy 2:15, he was saying, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So the Bible is the truth when it is rightly divided. And one of the most important scriptures in the Bible is Nehemiah 8:8. "So they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading." You have to give the sense of the word. The word has to be rightly divided, and scripture will support scripture. So in the Bible, it's not talking about two gods, that's for sure. And there's only one devil, the big D, and there are many, we say, demons, but there's no such thing as a demon. There are devils with a little d, which are fallen angels, which are unclean spirits, which are evil spirits. You need the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues to overcome the devil. And the baptism, the one baptism, is water and spirit. That is being immersed in the name of Jesus and being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, like they did in Acts 2:4 on the day of Pentecost, in the 8th chapter of Acts, in the 9th chapter of Acts, in the 10th chapter of Acts, and all the places where they were baptized and received the Holy Ghost, and the Gentiles, in the 10th chapter of Acts. Anywhere in the scriptures where you read, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, or the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because what makes the virtue in the water is the name of Jesus. A lot of folks are letting the devil trick them out of their soul, because he didn't say, "Repeat after me, name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." The name is Jesus. Acts 4:12, that was the subject there. The third chapter, they were mad. Didn't want them to preach in the name of Jesus. How they got beat and all, what happened. In the name of Jesus, that man that at the beautiful gate was healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, is the name, Acts in St. Luke 24 and 44, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in what? His name. Whose name? The one we're talking. The name of Jesus among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. The name of Jesus. So you go into all the world, Mark 16 and 15, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So you got to believe the word of God. So you can't let somebody, I don't care who he is, what his title is. You got one soul, and you can't let somebody trick you out of your soul. So if they're not saying what the word of God says, they're not saying what the apostles' doctrine, who are the men that Jesus himself taught and chose and qualified and sent. And so we are taught, even back it was during in the days in the book of Deuteronomy when he was saying about his law, teaching it. That was a rehearsal of the law. We know the law was given in the book of Exodus. You can read about it. And the rehearsal of the law, what happened in the book of Deuteronomy, but the same principle, teach it to thy son and thy son's sons. Apostle Paul said, the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, commit the faithful men who shall be able to teach others. That's in the book of Timothy. So this is what you got to do. So the Bible is the truth when it's rightly divided. And the devil himself know that in the name of Jesus is where salvation is. He know blood is in the name of Jesus. The devil know there is one God. James 2 and 19, thou believest there is one God, thou do as well. The devils also believe and tremble. No, they don't believe God, but they believe, they know it's one God. So he's tricking us. He's tricking us. As people. So there is one. Ain't no black man's God, no white man's God, no red man's God, no brown man's God. He is the God of all flesh. The same one was back there in the 18th and 19th chapter of Genesis. Those three men that went to Sodom, that went in and talked to Abraham before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. One of them was the Lord. And the Lord Abraham drew near. He was an intercessor. He interceded. They could find 10 righteous. He wouldn't destroy the city. So he got Lot out of there, got his two daughters out of there, and after that, destroyed the place. His sons wouldn't get out, and his daughters wouldn't. I mean, his wife, look back, the Bible said she became a pillar of salt. So you got to get out of there. So that is, just was a handful of people that got out of there during that time. So even now, we tell people, so he came, Jesus came to save sinners. That's the theme of the Bible. Christ came into the world to save sinners. Apostle Paul, when he wrote to his son Timothy, he said, among whom I am chief. So I know I was a sinner, is what he was saying. So after you get saved, you're not a sinner saved by grace. That is a lie that need to go back to hell. We're not sinners saved by grace. But you're a son of God if you have been born again, or a daughter of God. That's why he said, come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. I'll be your father. You'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So we're not. I'm not humbling myself that much. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, I'm not. You're a son of God. You're a child of God. You're a saint of God. Ain't nobody, you better know that you're called to be saints. He plainly makes that, makes it plain when he writes to the church at Corinth, when he writes to the church at Rome, when he heard of their faith, said that they're called to be saints. That's, how stupid is that for somebody? Who gave who authority to declare somebody as, they're going to make sainthood? That's a lie out of hell. That is a dirty lie. Ain't no some man declare you sainthood. God called people to be saints. And so it's not by your works, no way, but it's by your obedience. You've been born again. So how foolish is that? Well, I don't know. So-and-so is a saint. How stupid. Ain't no one man got no authority over nobody like that. That's foolishness. That is a lie. Ain't no Trinity. And God's holy mountain is not Rome. God's holy mountain is Jerusalem, and always will be. His holy mountain is Jerusalem. Rome was a cursed place. all the crazy stuff that they're doing, were doing there in Rome. And that's why he had to make that plain when he heard of their faith, when he went to Rome. Incidentally, that's where he ended up dying at, under Nero's chopping block. So that is a lie. You better know you're a child of God or a saint of God right now. And people say, I'm not, nobody is a saint. They don't understand. If you've been born again, you are a saint of God. And you don't have your righteousness, but you have his righteousness. You better, ain't no, you die, somebody declare, we picking out who we want for sainthood. And how stupid is that? Even to say, oh yeah, the Pope, so-and-so, he's up for sainthood. How silly is that? You know, Apostle Paul, we can call him Saint Paul too. Apostle Peter, we can call him Saint Peter. And the same it is with us. If we've been born again, we are saints of God. And matters not who don't like it. And so the truth will make you free. That's the whole point of this program, that I'm endeavoring to bring you truth. And this is what Jesus said. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. St. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what do we know? Buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23:23. Also wisdom and knowledge and understanding. What happened to the truth? They killed the truth. They buried the truth. And on the third day, the truth got up, and that is the truth. And so they told a lie that somebody stole him away. That is a lie. But the truth will stand. That's why he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. What is that? The power and the authority of death. So he didn't go down and preach to nobody in hell. That is a lie. Hell is the grave. He has the power of hell and of death. So, like the Bible said about, thou wilt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption, or not leave thy Holy One's soul in hell. He's talking about the grave. So right now, people, that's just a parable of things to come about the rich man and Lazarus and all that. And a lot of people don't know. They think they can figure out the Bible, but the Bible is a living book. It's a living book. A lot of things are in the Bible that people don't understand, and it's hid from them. But you got to be born again. There's history things that you can understand. They don't understand the mystery of Christ. This is one of the themes he was talking about here in this book of Philippians, who was written at the church, to the church at Philippi. So the theme is the Lord. And so even the Lord is at hand. So he is nigh, even at the door. He can come at any time. And so, like I was going to say, all unrighteousness is sin, saith the word of God. And so there are many signs in the land that are showing that violence is in the land. We are in the last days, and you got to fight a spiritual warfare. We cursing devils and binding devils in prayer in the holy name of Jesus. We turning back hell and turning back death in the name of Jesus. We got to fight. We got to contend. This is what Jude, the brother of our Lord, says, that you would earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And he goes on to say about how God delivered those people, talking about in Israel, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. It's in Jude. There's only one chapter. So God is not playing. People are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and Jesus Christ that bought them out. They really realize who he is. He is the master. He is the great I am. Like somebody said, let's talk about Jesus. The King of kings is he, the Lord of lords supreme throughout eternity, the great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. He is all of that and more. He is the bishop of our souls. He is the captain of our salvation. He is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the ending. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the which was, the which is to come. He is the king of the prince of the earth. He is the one that washed us, loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He made us kings and priests unto God. He said, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and look at me. I'm alive forevermore. There's nobody else grave in the earth you can go to that the angel already made a declaration that he is not here. He is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Nobody else's grave you can go to that says that he's not here. He got up just like he said he would on the third day to die no more. He died as a man. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life. 1 John 3:16. First epistle of John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. How did he die? He didn't die as a spirit. He died as a man. It's like he said, he spake as God. No man take my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. I'm the door. By me, if any man come in, he shall find pasture. Go in and out. In the 10th chapter of St. John. I'm the good shepherd, he said. I'm the door of the sheepfold. What'd he say about the hireling? He don't care for the sheep. He see the wolf coming. He ain't going to do that. He's going to let the wolf get the sheep. But the good shepherd, he's not going to do that. And Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. He is the great high priest that's passed into the heavens. He got up and died as the Son of God and got up as the great high priest that's passed into the heavens. He's coming back as the king, and he's going to come with 10,000. Of his saints. That's written also in the book of Jude. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. So these people are fighting over that almighty dollar. They're going to end up in the devil's hell because that's who it was created for. So folks are just so into things and into just looking down on other people. And I never read where nobody had the authority to be superior over another group of people, but that's what people are doing. And so they're going to be in bad shape because their master is their money. And so when you look in the Word of God, you can see that. And that's what Jesus is saying. I mean, he said so many things. He said, no man can serve two masters. He will hate the one, cleave to the other. He will hold the one, despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is money. And so folks are looking down on other people. They are appearing to be humble. They want to, like right now, what's going on in the United States of America, these Republicans, some of the foolishness that they're doing and things that are in their heart that are coming out of their mouth was in their heart. And folks are looking down on people. So it's going to come a time you ain't going to eat unless you get the mark. You ain't going to buy or sell unless you have the mark. Ain't going to be no, yo, Wall Street is doing this. Ain't going to be no Wall Street. If it is, they're going to be controlled by the Antichrist himself. So what I was saying earlier, Enoch also prophesied that he's the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. What is he going to do when he comes? To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. So he goes on, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. Their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. So we know you can't just, God has not got a secret group of people. And Peter already had made it plain. No prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. But the prophecy came not, in the old time by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that's in 2 Peter. So Peter goes on to let them know when he wrote this general epistle, there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. They're going to privately deceive people in these last days. So he goes on to say they're going to privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and shall bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. The way of what? Truth. The way of what? Truth. The way of what? Truth shall be evil spoken of. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So look at some of the things that God did and let you know the Lord Jesus is not playing. If God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved in the judgment, spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. That righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So what he do? He sat in the gate of the city. So he knew what was going on. And the Bible said he vexed his right. So in other words, he troubled his soul from day to day with the filthy conversation of the wicked. That word conversation means lifestyle. So I serve you notice right now, homosexual move, both male and female, the movement cannot be stopped. They are set and bent on what they want to do. They don't care. They say you're judging them if you tell them that's wrong. And, I mean, that's so foolish, whatever lawyer, whoever that was that came up with that term, sexual orientation. What a stupid statement. There's no, you the boy, when his child is born, it's a boy or a girl. Ain't no, God didn't create no freaks. A man trying to get out of a woman's body, a woman trying to get out of a man's body. That is the devil himself came up with that lie and put that in people's minds. But the whole point is, if you have that problem, all unrighteousness is sin. And I try to make this perfectly clear. God is against all unrighteousness. That means if you're a liar, he's against that. If you're a thief, he's against that. If you're an adulterer, he's against that. If you're a murderer, he's against that. And if you're a fornicator, he's against that. And so in fornication, what is that? Sex between two people that are not married. What is that? A male cannot marry another male, or a female cannot marry another male. That is classified as a fornicator. Or call it a sodomite, call it whatever you want. And God was disgusted and angry, and the Bible said he's angry with the wicked every day. So even now, he's not playing with that sin. Not playing with no sin. All liars are what? Going to have their place in the lake with burnished with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The murderers, whoremongers, adulterers. He is not playing. That's the second death. So there's, you know, people can say, yeah, I'd rather be judged now. So that's why Peter said, the time has come. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a busybody a busybody in other men's matter. But any man suffer as a Christian, let him suffer on this behalf, knowing now time is come, that judgment must first begin at the house of God. And if it begin on us, what shall the end of them be which obey not the gospel? And he goes on to say, for if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and ungodly appear? So what does he mean, scarcely be saved? He's saying if the righteous scarcely be saved, what he's saying is the righteous have their difficulties. We're not going to just barely make it, as people are saying, but God is looking at the heart. And people, there, God got people living for him, and he always did have somebody that has a standard. God always has people that, the honorable people. God always have had people with dignity. God, just like Philip had four daughters, Philip the evangelist in the book of Acts, the Bible said he had four daughters that were virgins that did prophesy. Everybody ain't laying on their back and just doing everything. But God got people with dignity and honor. So we want to try to make it bad. You know, people that are, you know, he's got his virginity. I mean, he's never been with a woman. God got people that are honorable people. He always has, and he always will. So that's not making you weak. You actually strong when you ain't giving in. You're just doing, and the people, they don't like that, especially people that want to take advantage of women or vice versa. There are some women that want to take advantage of men. But when you got that, people doing that, and then they don't like that, because they don't like it because the only thing they're concerned about is their own flesh. They want what they want, and they don't care. So they'll try to act like you're horrible because you ain't letting them do what they want to do. But God got people that's doing right, and he always has. So that's what we have to realize. And so this is why the epistles, which are letters that were written to the church, were written to let the church people know how they should live. So thank God for that. Also, I have posted my call-in number, should you be listening on Blog Talk Radio, and you can see the number. It's because most of the time I forget to give out the number. But should you have a question or should you desire to call in, the number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. That is our call-in number. So, and also we thank God for all of our Blog Talk listeners, all of our Blog Talk followers, all of our Twitter followers and Twitter listeners, and we may have some new listeners. So thank God for you. Also, those that are on Facebook, our Facebook listeners and our Facebook followers, thank God for you. Thank God for this platform. Thank God for Blog Talk Radio. It's a great platform that we are being heard all over the world in cyberspace, on the internet, and that is a blessing. So a lot of us couldn't literally go into all the world, like he said, and preach the gospel to every creature. So every creation, he's talking about mankind. There ain't going to be no dogs or no cats or no animals in heaven. That's a lie. That is a dirty lie that people are telling. But you read in the book Ecclesiastes, the soul of man goes up, the soul of beasts go down. An animal doesn't have a soul, is the point. Man and woman, mankind has a soul. So not only that, another thing that's very important is that even if a little child gets saved in the regeneration, they're fully mature. There's not going to be no old men in heaven, no old women in heaven, no little children in heaven, young people, teenagers in heaven. No, everybody is going to be the same. That's why I said, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Him who? Him the Father. we shall see him as he is. So this is why, like we're saying, we got to purify ourselves even as he is pure. So we have to watch how we carry our vessel, and that is our body that we're living in. We just don't do anything. Matter of fact, if you're born again, you're not going to just do anything because you don't have no desire to do the things that you've done before you were born again. And so here we have about a little less than 10 minutes left here in the book of Philippians, and so we've been bouncing around talking about salvation, talking about the blood, talking about morality, talking about all unrighteousness, which everything goes in that category, you know, liars and thieves and adulterers and fornicators, which includes homosexuality and all that, and the last days and the evil time that we're living in. But that, like this book of Philippians, Apostle Paul was letting them know, it's like we said, he said, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So with this little time that we have left, I'm going to give you into the hands of our historian in the person of Elder Ryan Fountain.
Praise the Lord. I was just coming in to listen to the last few minutes. I am blessed to come back here once again. I did get held up a little this evening, but I thank God for being able to come back to this broadcast and participate and talk in the Word of God, because it is my passion. It is what my ministry is about, is talking, is the Word of God. That's what anybody's ministry should be about. So I certainly enjoy the company of Elder Cannon. And have you closed out the book of Philippians yet?
No.
I just wanted to...
I didn't even get into the fourth chapter, not really. Just kind of recapped and...
Okay.
Dealing with some stuff.
Well, just to finish out the third chapter once again, the third chapter of Philippians is a very powerful chapter, because it goes into the transition of our walk in Christ into our translation into Christ, into Christ's presence. And how he's going to transform our bodies, and us pressing towards the high mark that we might attain to the resurrection of the dead. That's what I believe. That's what our hope is in the resurrection. Our hope is in him. So we should always, there shouldn't be a saint that does not believe in the resurrection of Christ, and that we are going to be part of that resurrection. That's part of believing. That's part of our faith.
Yeah.
Is that we believe in the resurrection of the dead. That is one of the principles of our doctrine, according to Hebrews, the sixth chapter,
yeah,
the first and second verse. Just going back into the 17th chapter, it says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example." So we should always look towards the ones that have been in the faith. We should look towards the ones that have had the experience in the faith. And, mm-hmm. and I look towards men of God such as Elder Cannon and my pastor, and know that they have walked in God, and that I should follow my example after those men. People say, I don't follow after men, I follow after God. Well, God reveals himself through men in this,
yeah,
day and age. So there is a man out there that you should be able to follow, but you should know the works that are in him are not of his own, but rather of God.
Yeah.
There are men of God indeed in this world. People miss the signs of false prophets, miss the signs of men that do not actually follow God and do not actually believe in the God of truth and in the God of holiness, and they get deceived, and then they get shocked when scandals seem to pop up out of nowhere. Well, the signs were probably already there. You just weren't looking at the signs. You were blinded by their charisma or by their personalities.
Right.
And so we're not following after personalities. We're following after the God that is working in our lives. In the fourth chapter, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So he'll supply all of our needs, but we have to come to him. And how can you hear except a man, or what's the scripture? How can I understand except a man show me?
Right.
And that's talking about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. The eunuch was reading. He was reading the scriptures. And that's where people get confused. They want to read the scriptures, but they don't have an understanding of the scriptures. Mm-hmm. There's some scriptures that are hard to understand because you can't read through the Bible just as a regular storybook. And that's where a lot of people go wrong. They try to read it as a storybook, but it's not as a storybook. You have to take a here little and there a little and rightly divide the word of truth.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to know that, and you have to have a man to guide you through that. Not just any man, not just some man who says he's qualified, but a man that is proven to be qualified. And that's how Paul had to be proven through the word. He had to be proven through God that and show that God had actually moved in his life and had given him the power of the gospel.
Yeah.
So we have to be following after those that are an example. And for many walk whom I've told you often and now even weeping that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, or our place, or our rightful seat, or our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body.
Mm-hmm.
This flesh is corruptible. This flesh is evil. This flesh has enmity against God because it's in sin. So we have to wash that flesh with the baptism in Jesus' name to get all of our sins off of us. And once we are conformed into his image, he'll change our vile bodies and be fashioned like unto his glorious body. We're going to put off corruptible and put on incorruption. And according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. That is his plan.
Mm-hmm.
His plan is to put all things that are against him under his feet. As he says in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, that once all is fulfilled, he will put down the sonship,
right.
So he will step out of sonship back into fatherhood. Once he has put that down, he'll be all in all,
mm-hmm.
meaning that he will judge this earth because judgment has already taken place,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we're looking for, that we will step into his presence and be with him forever in glory.
Yes.
I have to close out on this evening. Hopefully we'll get back into it next week, fourth chapter. God bless you, and once again, I'm glad to be back. In Jesus' name, be blessed.
Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.